It's Tuned To Yesterday, broadcasting programs from the golden age of radio. Welcome, I'm your host, Mark Levanier. In this hour, romance. Later on, the Screen Directors Playhouse hosts Betty Grable in a drama from 1950. But right now, it's the show, Romance, directed by longtime Lux Radio Theater director Fred MacKay. This first heard on CBS on August 14, 1954, with Bob Bailey and Joan Banks in the story, Isle to the Windward.
Now, from Hollywood, Romance.
Far to the south of Puerto Rico, north and east of Trinidad, a tiny island rises boldly out of the blue waters of the Caribbean. French and tropical, modern and primitive, beautiful and mysterious. This is the island of Dominique.
With Robert Bailey as Mark and Joan Banks as Melanie, we present transcribed Leonard St. Clair's new story of adventure and romance, Isle to the Windward.
The long blast of the ship's whistle vibrated through the steaming tropical haze, echoed across the bay, and called forth a salute from the fort at the harbor entrance. The Caribbean island of Dominique in Port Luanda seemed almost unreal, dreamlike. The tall palms that ring the harbor promenade, the yellow buildings with the red-tiled roofs that stretched upward from the water's edge and melted into the green jungle at the base of Monte Cristine, the tower of the cathedral that gleamed white in the shimmering heat, and the giant stone figure of the Virgin which stood guard on the neighboring hill. All of it added up to an impossibly beautiful dream. Impossibly beautiful was also the way I felt about the girl who stood beside me at the ship's rail.
Does Dominique intrigue you, Monsieur Colbert?
Oh, it's magnificent. I can hardly wait to paint it.
Ah? I did not know you were an artist.
I haven't had a chance to tell you. I've covered most of the Caribbean, but Dominique's what I've been looking for. An artist's paradise.
Paradise? No, Dominique is... Dominique.
Mademoiselle, quickly. We must be ready to go ashore.
But we are ready.
No, we are not. Come, mademoiselle.
Excuse me, monsieur. Au revoir.
There it was again. Ever since Trinidad, that woman had shadowed the girl like a combination chaperone and bodyguard. There was something odd about it. Something not quite right. There were a half dozen ancient touring cars lined up at the wharf, but I decided to walk to the hotel. I wanted to take it all in. The throngs of dark native women in their striped turbans, others balancing high baskets of fruit on their heads. The mango trees, noisy with green and yellow parrots. And everywhere, the native rhythms of Dominique. As I made my way up the Grand Rue, I saw a touring car pull to the curb in front of a large pink building. Two women stepped out. As I drew nearer, I recognized Mademoiselle de Beauvier.
Oh, you are fortunate, Monsieur Colbert.
Ah?
You arrive on our great holiday. Tonight, Port Luanda celebrates the festival.
The festival?
Of St. Christopher. We thank him for his protection through the season of the hurricane.
Mademoiselle, your father is waiting.
Oh, oui, petite maman. Again, monsieur, au revoir.
With that, they disappeared into the pink building and a heavy oaken door closed behind them. That evening was a mixture of Mardi Gras in New Orleans, Carnival in Rio, New Year's in New York, plus the heat of a Pittsburgh blast furnace. Even the forest was decked out in some sort of costume. Every door was open. People streamed in and out of houses. Then I saw her again. She was coming out of one of the houses. Jewels blazed about her neck. Crimson evening gown showed off the whiteness of her shoulders and the blackness of her hair. She was masked, but there was no disguising the woman who clung to her arm, Madame Duclos. I pushed my way toward them, and then they turned in at another doorway. It was the same pink building. I paused in the entrance. Why not? It was open house. People were welcome everywhere tonight. At the top of a flight of stairs, there was a large reception room. Men and women were crowding around a punch bowl.
Will you have champagne, Monsieur Cobain?
Huh? Oh, yes, thank you. I hope you don't mind my following you here.
No, I wanted you to.
Ah, then you saw me.
Yes, I wanted to show you our house.
Ours?
My father's and mine. If you wish, I'll show you the garden. We can see it from the balcony.
You're sure Madame Duclos will allow this?
Oh, you are safe. I am at home.
Then I have another question.
Yes?
What day is this?
Day? Thursday, the 30th of September.
And the year?
You are joking, monsieur.
No, believe me, I'm not.
Why, it is 1954, of course.
But it can't be. The calendar is wrong by at least 100 years.
Monsieur?
This island, Port Luanda, this house, and most of all, the exquisite lady of this house, you, mademoiselle, belong to another age, to a time far more romantic.
Oh, incredible. An American who pays compliments in a European manner.
It wasn't too bad, was it?
Melanie.
Oh, Monsieur Cobain, may I present my father? Papa, Monsieur Cobain.
Our house is yours, Monsieur Cobain.
Thank you, sir.
You are from New York, I believe, an artist?
Why, yes, but...
Oh, nothing surprising, monsieur. Madame Duclos informed me.
Oh, I see.
Melanie, monsieur, when does Monsieur Cobain commence your portrait?
Portrait?
I have not asked him to.
Not yet, Melanie. You disappoint me.
But I shall consider it a privilege, mademoiselle, whenever you wish.
Splendid. Then, perhaps tomorrow... We have a sugar plantation in the hills. We go there in the morning if you would honor us with your company.
Papa, please. Perhaps Monsieur Cobain has other plans. I'm sure his first wish would be to see something of our island.
Well, that was my idea.
Oh, forgive me, monsieur. Then perhaps in a few days.
I'd be delighted.
Good. And now, Melanie, we must not forget our other guests.
I followed them indoors. After a second glass of champagne, I decided to have another look at the festival going on in the street below. As I stepped out of the doorway, a hand grabbed my arm. Madame Duclos.
Monsieur, you must not go with them.
What are you talking about?
Do not see the mademoiselle again. It is best for you and for her.
Look, what is all this?
Take my word, monsieur. You must believe me.
But wait, Madame Duclos. Madame! At first, I didn't take it seriously. It seemed like some kind of a far-fetched joke. Then I realized Madame Duclos was in deadly earnest. But whatever she meant to do, her words were a mistake. To warn a man is often to urge him on. The next morning, I packed my bags and hired a touring car. The plantation was halfway up the shoulder of Mornay Christine, a huge rambling house with a wide veranda. And on the front steps, Monsieur de Beauvier mopping his brow and smiling.
Oh, Monsieur Cobain, how good of you. How kind. Melanie, I told you he would come.
He was a perfect host. That night he gave a dinner for me and invited the neighboring plantation owners. The next day he escorted me over the estate. To the cane field, sugar mill, the rum distillery. But I was never alone with Melanie. When she posed for the portrait, Madame Duclos sat to one side and knitted. Still, we did communicate. Our eyes told each other what we could not speak. Then, during one of the sittings...
You come, monsieur. You are not pleased.
No. No, your throat needs some sort of ornament.
Perhaps a locket? I have a miniature of my mother.
That might do, yes. Yes, I'd like to see a picture of her. She must have been very beautiful.
I am told she was.
Yes, madame?
She was very beautiful, monsieur. A very grand lady.
Mm-hmm. She died when you were young, mademoiselle?
When I was a baby, she was killed in the great hurricane.
I see.
Since then, Madame has been my petite maman. Merci, Mademoiselle. And now, will you bring the miniature for Monsieur?
But, Mademoiselle...
Please, quickly.
Ah, oui, Mademoiselle.
We were alone. We stared at each other for an instant. Then we were in each other's arms.
Oh, Mark. Mon cher, mon cher.
Oh, Melanie, we can't go on like this. There's so much we've got to talk about.
I know. At 6 o'clock tomorrow morning, go to the stable. You will find a horse waiting.
Only one?
There will be another. We will be together, darling.
After dinner, Melanie's father suggested that he and I take a walk in the garden. The air was humid. Fireflies glowed overhead. In the distance, we could see a bonfire and the moving shadows of the plantation workers.
You know the meaning of the drums, Monsieur Corbin?
No.
The natives pray to their voodoo gods. They fear a hurricane.
But I thought the season was over.
It is. Still, the witch doctors say otherwise. Tell me, Monsieur Corbin.
Yes?
You are in love with my daughter.
Well, I...
Of course. It is very plain. You want to marry her?
Yes. As a matter of fact, I do.
It is an impossibility, Monsieur.
If you mean you won't give your consent...
Even if I did, it is still impossible, I tell you.
Now, just a minute, sir.
Melanie will not marry you, monsieur. She will not, she cannot be the wife of any man.
De Beauvier's words had one immediate effect. I slept badly that night. The next morning, Melanie was waiting for me at the stable. The horses were saddled and ready. Melanie led the way. First past the cane fields, then upward through a forest of bamboo and giant tree ferns. Overhead, wild parrots screeched. An hour passed, then another. Finally, there was no more jungle. We were on the topmost crest of Monte Cristine. There we dismounted. 4,000 feet below, Port Luanda was only a few patches of yellow and red and white. Black rain clouds drifted ominously overhead. I turned to Melanie. Somehow, she seemed different this morning. I started to put my arms around her.
No. Not now, Mark.
But why? What's happened? Only yesterday afternoon,
Yesterday was yesterday. We were both a little foolish.
Were we? Oh, Melanie, you've got to get away from this place, away from your father and Madame Duclos.
Why?
Well, that's it. I don't know why, but somehow they've made you a prisoner.
They let you come to me, Mark?
But only so far. Your father invited me up to the plantation so he could keep an eye on us. Madame Duclos tried to warn me off. What is it you're all so frightened of? Melanie, what is it?
Please, Mark, please.
But I've got to know.
Yesterday, you asked about my mother.
Yes?
I said she was killed in the great hurricane.
I remember.
The same hurricane that killed my two brothers.
Your brothers?
They were killed, all of them, in the same room. And it was a blessing.
Melanie?
A blessing.
But why?
For the same reason I can never marry you. They were hopelessly insane. Now you know. Oh, Mark, take me in your arms, but do not love me. Let me kiss you, but do not let me fall in love with you.
We rode back in silence. It was almost noon when we reached the end of the steaming jungle. Noon that looked like twilight. The whole sky was a yellow-gray. Overhead, birds were flying inland. When we reached the plantation, De Beauvier was pacing the veranda. But there were no questions, no accusations. He seemed almost in a daze.
He began this way in 32. Everyone said the season was past. Yes, even the government expert. The next day he was dead, he and all the others, my wife, my
Papa,
son.
Papa, you must not.
Melanie, you will help Madame Duclos. Take as much water as possible from the well. Fill every pot and kettle.
Yes, Papa, immediately.
And candles. Gather them all together.
Yes, Papa.
Monsieur de Beauvier.
Yes?
I'd like to borrow your car to go back to Port Luanda.
Now? With this storm?
I'll be there in plenty of time.
I hope so, monsieur. I hope so.
I had to get away. I needed time to think everything out. There was nothing the matter with Melanie. I was sure of it. There was no sign of anything strange about her. But what about the future? Perhaps not today, not tomorrow, but someday. Oh, it just couldn't be true. The streets of Port Luanda were empty. Trash and newspapers swirled about in the humid air. Outside the hotel, a mongrel dog was whimpering. For the first time, I began to feel uneasy. In the lobby, the desk clerk was gone and the porters. A lone and very fat Englishman sat in one of the wicker chairs and fanned himself.
Where is everybody? In church or taking to high ground?
You mean it's really that serious?
Serious? I wager you've never been through a Caribbean hurricane.
No.
Well, I, sir, am what you might call a veteran. The Jamaica one, for instance. Some of the poor souls stayed on in town, and the high seas drowned them. Some took to the hills, and they were blown to death.
What if they're in the hills and stay indoors?
Then the walls and roof fall in on them. Best thing, sir, is to be a fatalist. Here. Pull up a chair. Find yourself a fan, because it is going to get hotter still.
If there was a danger, I knew where I wanted to be. Whatever came, I was going to share it with Melanie. Plantation workers were crowding into the house for refuge. They were silent and gray with fear.
Oh, monsieur! Thank heaven you have come. You must stop them, then. Tell her to come back.
Why? Where is she?
Her father. He has gone to the place. Every hurricane, he goes there to pray.
Madame Duclos, where is she?
Out there in the storm. She goes to bring him back, but he will not leave the place.
What place? Where?
Mademoiselle knows. I have told her.
She was too hysterical to make sense. All I could do was to try and to hope. Melanie! 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 I saw a hill at the edge of what had been the cane field, a hill covered with huge tree ferns. As I groped up the slope, I caught sight of her. Melanie!
Mark! Oh, my God.
My darling, where is he?
At the top of this hill, Mark. Hurry, hurry.
We clawed our way up through the ferns. We came out into a clearing.
Papa! Papa!
No, Melanie! Go back! Go back!
He was down on his knees praying in front of three gravestones. As we pulled him to his feet, a great gush of wind tore away a low-hanging tree. Where the tree had been was another grave marker.
Mark.
Yes, I see it.
There should be only three gravestones. What is this?
Let me clear the dirt off the stone.
No. No, do not trouble us. I can tell you what it says.
Papa.
It says, born 1930, died 1932. Requiescat in pace, Melanie de Beauvier.
We got him back to the house and stretched him out on his bed. He was delirious. We told Madame Duclos what we had found up on that hill. At first, she pretended in ignorance. And then finally, with our questioning, she began to sob.
Oh, you must forgive him, monsieur. And you, mademoiselle. The great hurricane took from him all that he loved. His wife, his sons, his daughter. Especially his daughter.
But I am Melanie de Bevier.
That is the name he gave you, mademoiselle. He asked me to find him a little girl. A petit enfant that could again be his Melanie. You, ma chère.
And my parents?
Your mother was a poor widow. A fine woman, oui. A true lady. But Monsieur de Beauvier could give you what she could not.
Melanie, do you realize what this means? You're no relation. There can't be any insanity.
No, there never was. Monsieur dreaded the day when he might lose mademoiselle. His love made him fierce love. And out of it was born that terrible lie. But do not hate him, mademoiselle. I beg of you, think kindly of him.
Always, petite maman. Always.
De Beauvier's died that night. His funeral was held in the ruins of the Cathedral of Port Luanda. The next day, Melanie and I boarded a freighter for New York. Madame Duclos came to see us off.
You will treat her kindly, monsieur.
Do you doubt I will, madame?
No. No, I do not.
And you, petite maman, I hope all will be well with you.
Oh, you know Monsieur de Beauvier will... Can I want for anything?
No. He was very generous.
Oh, it's hard to say goodbye.
We won't. We'll be back, madame.
Then, à bientôt.
À bientôt, petite maman.
Until soon, madame.
She's so proud. Even to the last, she is afraid to let me know.
But you do know. Tell her, darling.
No.
Yes.
A bientôt, maman. Until soon, my mother.
Romance is produced and directed by Fred MacKay. Editorial supervision is by Het Mannheim. You have heard Isle to the Windward, written especially for Romance by Leonard St. Clair. Robert Bailey was heard as Mark, Joan Banks as Melanie, Parley Bear as Du Beauvier, Jeanette Nolan as Madame Duclos, and Jack Crucian as Rollins. This is Hugh Douglas inviting you to hear Romance, transcribed next week at the same time. From the wards to the private rooms, there's a dramatic story behind every patient on CBS Radio's hit show, City Hospital. Accident victim, amnesia patient, police case. Any of them could be the theme for today's exciting tale. So, listen in. Stay tuned now for Stars Over Hollywood, which follows immediately over most of these same stations.
Romance on Tuned to Yesterday from August 14th, 1954 on the CBS Radio Network. It's an hour of romance on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levenier. And now time for an adaptation of the 1948 motion picture, When My Baby Smiles at Me. It was nominated for an Oscar for Best Music and Best Actor in a Leading Role with Dan Daly. We'll hear Herb Vigran take over his part in the radio broadcast with the original screen female lead, Betty Grable, from May 5th, 1950 on NBC.
RCA Victor, world leader in radio, first in recorded music, first in television, proudly presents...
Screen Director's Playhouse, star Betty Grable, Production, When My Baby Smiles at Me, director Walter Lang.
The Hollywood Screen Directors present a love lyric of show business. The motion picture musical romance, When My Baby Smiles at Me, starring Betty Grable in her original role of Bonnie. This is a story of a boy and a girl who met in burlesque in the wonderful, ridiculous 1920s. The 1920s, a time all of its own, with a language all of its own. Speak or speakeasy.
Speakeasy, a secret place known to everybody where the gin rummies of the 20s got set.
Whoopee.
A noisy product that people were always making. See Cantor, Eddie.
Cake eater.
An elegant fella, smooth number. A wolf in chic's clothing.
Burlesque.
The West Point of some of our greatest entertainers, including Skid Johnson and Bonnie Kane. I was Skid's and Bonnie's boss. I saw this happen. The 1920s, burlesque, curtain going up.
We, Marie, if you do this for me, then I'll do that for you. Wee Marie.
Hiya, Bonnie.
Lefty. Has Skid shown up yet?
I had the boys combing every speakeasy in Kansas City, Bonnie. This is the third time this week Skid's gone on a bat.
But he's on the wagon.
Yeah.
Oh, he promised me.
Yeah. Hey, did you see your good-looking admirer in row three again?
Yeah, he's a swell guy, but I told him I was married.
Oh, he's got it bad, Bon. And he's a cattle king with a ranch out west, and he's got...
Hiya, team. Lefty.
Hiya, Skid.
Hiya, Bonnie. You miss me?
And where have you been again?
Shooting pool.
I suppose that's pool room air on your breath, too.
Grade A.
Excuse me, kids. Oh, there's a telegram on the dressing table for you.
Yeah, probably someone wanted to borrow money we ain't got with security nobody's got in this business.
With your talent, Skid, we could have plenty of security. Where's your ambition?
Ambition? What's that? Hey, get a load of this.
The answer is no. We can't lend what we haven't got.
Well, listen. Half chance to place you a new Sam Harris show.
Get it.
Salary, $500 per week. Would have to be here Sunday latest to start rehearsals. Wire and confirm Jack Curtis. Hey, Bonnie, this is it. This is the chance you're always raving about.
Yeah. Your chance to beat it to New York after that no-talent redhead you went off your nut about.
Who? When?
When I was in the hospital in Des Moines.
Who?
Who? I suppose you didn't know that Sylvia Marco is dancing in New York now.
Oh. Oh, her.
Yeah, her.
Well, gee, Bonnet, it's just a coincidence.
Coincident, my eye.
Well, you can stop blowing off because I'm not going.
Who said you're not going? Since when does what you say settle things around here?
Look, I gotta go make up for my act.
And after your act, you'll just have 50 minutes to get that makeup off and catch the train for New York.
Oh, but Bonnie, I wouldn't have a chance in the big time.
Now, do you think I'd let you go if I didn't think you were ready?
Oh, baby. Here's some, baby. I wouldn't know what to do without you.
We're on in 10 minutes. Let's kill him, honey.
By the way, how would you like to marry me?
Oh, I'd like to very much.
Ha ha!
But I'm afraid my husband would object.
Oh, ho! You wouldn't kid me, would you, lady?
I would if I could, mister. I would if I could.
It'd be a laugh if I flopped to New York.
You won't, baby. You won't.
Oh, baby. You're some baby. What'll I do without you?
Huh? Hello, operator. Operator, this is Bonnie Kane in 805. Are you sure there hasn't been a call for me from New York? My husband opened a show tonight, and he said... There hasn't? I'll keep waiting. Ring me any time if he calls, no matter how late. Why doesn't he call? Please call, Skid. Don't go out. Don't get drunk. Stay away from it, Skid. Please call. Please call. I'm sorry, operator. It's my alarm clock. Ring. Call. Why doesn't he call? Hello? Oh, darling. How are you? How was it? How did it go tonight? Oh, wonderful. I knew you'd do it. I just knew it. What? No, I'm not crying. I'm very happy. Very happy. What? Oh, thank you, darling. I wish I was there, too. Yes. Yes. Yes, dear, I know you got to get back to your public and everything. Write me a letter once in a while and... Thank you, darling, for calling. Yes. Goodbye. Don't forget to write. Good night, honey. Good night.
Mr. Harris. Excuse me, just a minute.
Mr. Harris.
What's in your mind, Skid, besides being Broadway's newest sensation?
Look, I just called Cincinnati, and I got a great idea. You know where you've been wanting to stretch that Bowery routine to give you more time to change for the big staircase number?
Yeah.
Well, I used to do a pretty funny bit called Playtime in Paris that might be just what you're looking for.
Maybe. How long is the bit?
Any length you want it, Mr. Harris, and it's a yell from start to finish, and I know just the girl for it. Bonnie Kane. She's doing a show in Cincy, but I can get her here in 24 hours.
I have a girl in mind myself I'd like to give a chance. Name of Sylvia Marco.
Marco?
Yeah, let's try it out in the morning, eh, Skid?
Yeah, Mr. Harris. Swell. When will I ever learn to keep my big mouth shut? Sylvia Marco. Talk about Lulu. Talk about Sylvia Marco. She turns out to be great, and the act is in. With Marco. So, she's a heck of a swell kid, it turns out. What should I do? Sit up in my hotel room every night? So, we have a few laughs together, and pretty soon it gets into the papers. That's how it happens that the telephone rings at my room one morning after the night before. Who is it? It's Bonnie, downstairs in the lobby. I jump up and dash some water in my eyes and... Hide a few empty bottles here and there under the bed covers, under sofa cushions, and I'm almost ready. Just a second, baby. Cover that. On horseback, baby, on horseback.
Skid.
Oh, baby. Hey, not in the corridor, baby, not in the corridor. Oh, baby, have I missed you. Oh.
I'd never know it from the letters you didn't write.
Well, baby, you're here now, where you belong.
Only for one day. I'm a working woman, remember?
Uh-huh. You just came down to check up on me, huh?
It's about time, isn't it?
My life is an open book. Sit down and I'll tell you any place.
All right.
Not there, not on the... Bed.
Bottles.
A few. Not even a case.
Skid.
Yeah?
About this Sylvia Marco.
We work together. But you're the one I'm nuts about. You know that, Bonnie.
With me, it's got to be all or nothing. I'm funny that way. You've got to make up your mind, Skid. Me or Marco.
Okay. That's the way you want it. I guess it'll have to be Marco.
Skid.
Skip.
Oh, I'm serious, Skip.
Okay, I'll tell Harris to give Marco the old heave-ho. Now, let me get dressed, and we'll do the town. We'll make whoopee. I put Bonnie on the train that evening. The next night, I took Sylvia Marco to a speakeasy just to break it easy that she had to go. So we did have a few little drinks. So the cops raided us. Got in the papers. Pictures and all. Me and Sylvia Marco.
With me, a man has to make up his mind. With me, it's got to be all or nothing. I'm funny that way. I divorced Skid. I had to.
Not a word from Skid after he was served the divorce papers. I knew he was proud. I knew he was hurt. But I couldn't sell Bonnie on it. She sure took it hard, but game. That new song she opened with in Chicago was more than just a song with Bonnie.
What did I do? What in the world did I do? Oh, where did you went? Oh, I'm broken bent. Say you left my heart with a terrible dent. I'm in confusion, in conclusion. I'm dying to know, baby, what did I do? What did I say? And where, oh, where in the world did you go? Mr. Howell.
Hello, Bonnie.
My most faithful public.
Lefty said it'd be all right for me to wait for you here in your dressing room.
Of course. It's nice to see you. Still selling cows?
Still at it, Bonnie. How you been?
Me? Oh, fine. Same old grind.
I read that you were getting a divorce.
You did? Where?
Variety. I've been keeping track of them.
You just never give up, do you?
Where are you filing your papers?
New York, my home state. Why?
Well, it takes a long time there. Now, my ranch is near Reno, and Mother'd be awfully proud to have you come out there and stay with us.
Me? On a ranch?
Why not? Do you a lot of good, Bonnie. Me too. Why not?
Yes. Why not? Why not? Divorced in Reno, engaged in Carson City to Harvey Howell. Then to New York with my wedding to Harvey only a week away. Lefty was in town and he dropped in to see me in my fancy suite at the Waldorf Astoria.
I just been wondering, Bonnie.
Wondering what, Lefty?
When you'd get around to asking me about Skid.
We caught his show our first night in town.
Are you and Harvey?
Yes.
How was Skid? Fried again?
Plastered. But he was great up there.
Yeah. For how long?
Well, that's probably Harvey. He'll be glad to see you.
Hiya, Bon.
Skid.
Hey, I brought some club soda and some stuff right off the boat to kill that soda taste.
Well, come in.
Hiya, Skid.
Lefty. Well, geez, swell to see you.
I wondered if you could.
Huh?
Skip it.
How long you been in town, Bonnie?
4 days.
Didn't you let me know you were here? Make yourself a drink, Lefty.
Yeah.
Couldn't you?
We've been busy with wedding plans.
Oh. Make myself a drink, too, Lefty. When?
Next week.
Yeah. You ain't told me if you caught my show yet.
Harvey and I caught it Tuesday night.
Plastered, wasn't I?
Oh, stop it.
Yeah, is everybody happy?
Well, if it ain't Ted Lewis himself. Yes, sir. Now, when my baby smiles at me, smile, buddy. Come on, smile. Is everybody
stop
happy?
Stop it, Lefty, quit.
What's the matter? What'd I do?
Not a thing, Skid.
I'm sorry, Skid. That song just kind of gets me sometimes, that's all. That's Harvey.
Oh, Harvey, come in. Door's unlocked.
Hello, Bonnie. Hello, dear.
Well, Lefty.
Hi.
Harvey, this is Skid Johnson.
Oh, how are you, Mr. Johnson?
I'm fine. Fine.
You certainly enjoyed your show Tuesday night.
Well, thanks. I guess I wasn't so hot, though.
That's what Bonnie said, but you look fine to me.
Yeah. How about a little drink?
That sounds good.
You know, you're getting a great gal when you get Bonnie, mister.
I know it.
I hope you appreciate her better than I did. There you are.
Thank you.
How about you, Bonnie?
No, thanks, kid.
Oh, why not?
No, please.
Oh, come on. Come on. Join in the festivities. Come on. Hey, Lefty. Lefty, play the wedding march.
Kid, please.
Play it, I say.
You'd better play it, Lefty.
Okay.
Fast, play it fast. Do you take this gal to be a wedded wife? I do. Do you take this man? I do. To love and obey? I do. Till death do you part. Till death do you part.
Stop it, Skid.
We do. I now pronounce you man and wife.
Skid, where are you going?
I now pronounce you man and...
Lefty.
Yeah, I better go after him.
Oh, please do something.
Yeah, he's in bad shape.
I didn't hear anything about Skid for weeks. Then I got a telegram from Lefty in Paterson, New Jersey, to come at once. I arrived backstage while the show was on and found Lefty in his office, looking pretty miserable. I got your wire. What's it about? Skid?
Yeah, Bellevue Hospital, alcoholic ward.
Oh, poor guy.
Down and out, no job. I needed a comic.
I'll bet you did.
I gave him his job back here. He started off fine. Then he got to watching the entrances like he expected you to come in any minute. Yesterday, he took a powder, and we ain't been able to find him since.
It's the same old story?
Yeah. How's Harvey?
Harvey?
Sorry, I missed the wedding.
Oh, Harvey's on his ranch in Nevada.
Nevada?
Lefty.
Skid.
Hello, Lefty. Well, Bonnie?
Can't you tell?
Bonnie.
Oh, don't, darling.
Hold me. Let me hold you. Just for a minute.
Skid. Skid, you've got to pull yourself together.
I can't.
You've got to go on.
I can't. I'm all in. Bonnie, I'm all shot.
Yeah, he's right, Bon. It's too late. He's done for.
It's not too late. He's going on stage tonight. I'm going with him. Hear that, Skid? It's a swell house out there.
Well, Bonnie, I'm shot. I'm done for.
That's for you, Skid. It's for us. Come on, smile, honey.
Bonnie!
I stood in the wings watching him. Skid's brain was foggy, but those feet were still educated. For a while, with Bonnie holding him up, he looked fair, just getting by. Then he began to go real bad. Skid was shaking out there, positively shaking. And so was I.
Your cue, Skid. By the way.
What? By the way, how would you like to marry me?
Oh, I'd like to very much.
Yeah, but your husband, that big rancher, would object.
You must be wrong, mister. I'm not married to any rancher.
What do you mean you're not married to any rancher?
I couldn't marry anybody I didn't love, Skid. I'm back with you.
Bonnie.
Keep dancing. You're doing fine.
You mean that you're coming back to me?
I am back.
And you'll stick?
For good.
Lady, you wouldn't kid me, would you?
I wouldn't kid you, mister. Even if I could.
Baby. Hold, boys, hold it. Is everybody happy?
Yeah! Me too, darling. Me too.
This is Jimmy Wallington speaking. You have just heard the last act of When My Baby Smiles at Me. Now, here again is tonight's star, Betty Grable. Oh, Betty, you were wonderful. I can see why they sing, I want a girl just like the girl who married Harry James.
Well, now, thank you, Jimmy.
Say, you know, Betty, just as the movie public enjoys that peaches and cream complexion of yours, I know they would also enjoy the color scheme of RCA Victor's beautiful little 45 RPM automatic phonograph, the Victrola 45. How do you like that maroon case with a gold color trip?
I think it's the cutest looking phonograph I ever saw, Jimmy. And I love having the little 45 records all in the bright colors, too.
Yes, they're so tiny, only 7 inches across. And in such pretty colors that a leading American poet has described them as distilled rainbows.
What poet?
Me, of course. What's more, 45 records cost from 25 to 50% less than the conventional 78 RPM size. Say, what kind of 45 records did the James family go in for?
Well, we all like the 6 B's.
Well, I know the 3 B's, Bach, Beethoven, and Brahms.
Well, the other three are Barrel House, Boogie Woogie, and the Blues.
That's good.
Yeah, and one of my little girls really likes Western numbers, those riding and shooting tunes. Do you suppose, Jimmy, she goes for them because her name is Jesse James?
Well, it might be, Betty. But perhaps you could cool her down with a swell record by the Sons of the Pioneers, Cool Water. You know, that's in a special album of 10 favorite records which RCA Victor has issued to celebrate the first birthday of the 45 RPM system. The album has records by Perry Como, Vaughn Monroe, Eddie Arnold, Freddie Martin, Arthur Fiedler and the Boston Pops, and 7 other top names.
Sounds awful easy on the ears, Jimmy.
Yes, and it's awful easy on the budget, too, Betty. For a limited time, RCA Victor dealers are offering this big first anniversary album with every Victrola 45 purchased for the usual price for the Victrola 45 alone, only $29.95. Don't miss this best buy ever in recorded music. And happy listening.
Ladies and gentlemen, 6 motion pictures is an important part of any actress's career. And for 6 pictures, I've been fortunate enough to be directed by... Well, I call him Uncle Walter. And Uncle Walter is a kind of magician for the screen, full of deep knowledge and marvelous instruction. The creator of such grand films as State Fair and Sitting Pretty. Now, I'd like you to meet him. The director of When My Baby Smiles at Me, Walter Lang.
Thank you, Betty. Your old uncle is proud of you. You did a grand job tonight. You know, some people might doubt that there are real troopers left, like Bonnie in tonight's story, but they're wrong. I know one. We've done 6 pictures together, and she's taken it on the chin in plenty of rough spots. Worked and danced when she could hardly stand up, but she never stopped smiling. Her name? Betty Grable. Thanks, honey, and good night, everyone.
Good night to you, Betty Grable and Walter Lang. Remember next Friday, Academy Award winner Broderick Crawford in Butch Minds the Baby, with screen director Albert S. Rogel, brought to you by RCA Victor, world leader in radio, first in recorded music, first in television. When My Baby Smiles at Me was presented through the courtesy of 20th Century Fox, producers of Three Came Home, starring Claudette Colbert. Betty Grable may currently be seen in the 20th Century Fox Technicolor production, Wabash Avenue. Walter Lang's latest picture for 20th Century Fox is the Technicolor production, Cheaper by the Dozen, starring Clifton Webb. Included in tonight's cast were Hi Averback as Skid Johnson, Herb Vigran as Lefty, Barton Yarborough, Paul McVeigh, and Frank Barton. When My Baby Smiles at Me was adapted for radio by Milton Geiger, and original music was composed and conducted by Robert Armbruster. Screen Director's Playhouse is produced under the supervision of Howard Wiley, Associate Director Fred Hegeland. Portions of the program were transcribed. You're invited to listen again next Friday when RCA Victor presents
Screen Director's Playhouse, star Broderick Crawford, production Butch Minds the Baby, director Albert S. Rogel.
Stay tuned for Jimmy Durante on NBC.
The Screen Director's Playhouse on Tuned to Yesterday from May 5th, 1950 on NBC. And that brings to a close this hour of romance on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's yesteryear. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levenier. It's been a pleasure.